therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Father, we ask your blessings tonight upon the reading of the Word of God. And Lord, we believe what it says, that without you we can do nothing. Nothing, Lord, that will last and stand throughout eternity. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that, Lord, that you might have already put in our heart, Lord, some anointed words that would go into somebody else's heart and would help them and minister and strengthen them tonight. And Father, thank you again for these that have come out, Lord, tonight. And I thank you, Lord. Lord, we don't have a big crowd, but we've got a bigger crowd than most churches do, because they don't even have the Wednesday night anymore. And I thank you, you've put it in our heart and helped us to have some folks to help us, Lord, to keep the doors open on Wednesday night, so some sinner might come in if he wanted to come in and hear the Word of God. Now, Father, help me tonight. I pray you'll season the message tonight out of heaven. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We have been looking last week, first Wednesday night service of the new year. We started a little study that we entitled, Who Are We? And last week, we realized and went through the Bible, and we seen that we are a child of God. We are a child of God. We are looking to see who we are. And I believe that a lot of Christians and a lot of believers and a lot of saved people, I believe one of Satan's greatest devices is that he keeps us from remembering or maybe ever knowing who that we are. But we are somebody in Christ. And we were a child of God. We were born into the family of God. We're a unique, unusual child, because not only was we born in the family of God, but we were adopted into the family of God. And so we've got in on two counts and two ways. But tonight we want to look a little farther tonight at who we are. Now, we hope we left you last night with the thought that we are, or last week with the thought that we are a child of God. We do have a heavenly Father above. We're not orphans. We're not homeless. We're not helpless. We have a heavenly Father. But in our brief lesson tonight, out of these verses that we've read, you notice words like flock and words like shepherd. And these words remind us tonight that we are a sheep in God's flock. Tonight, you and I are not only a child of God, but we are a sheep tonight in God's flock. I heard a well-known preacher, highly known, highly respected. I highly respect him, and I still do tonight. But I heard him make this statement one night while preaching. He said, the Bible never compares the Christian or the church to a sheep. And immediately my Holy Spirit alarm went off. And do you know that God's put a Holy Spirit alarm inside of you? And whenever you hear something that's not right, it goes off. To let you know that didn't sound right, that didn't seem right, that wasn't right. And I remember one night me and my wife were with a couple, and they were kind of Pentecostal or wanted to be, and they got talking about some things, and I was talking with them, and we were talking, and I showed them some things and told them some stuff out of the Bible. At that time, we were young in the ministry. I mean, not even a year in the ministry, not even probably 6 months in the ministry. And we got in the car, and my wife said, she said, I didn't know what you were saying tonight. but it sounded true. It had a certain ring to it. Well, she didn't know it tonight, but you know, you don't have to know the scripture, and you don't have to know the verse and the chapter and where it is. You have the one inside of you that inspired a holy man of God to write the scripture. And even though you don't know it, he knows it. And whenever you hear something that ain't right, he sets off an alarm in your soul. And remember this. The truth always has a certain ring about it. The truth always has a certain ring about it. You see, the Bible, he said the Bible never compares the church to sheep. My alarm went off. Now, I know the use of sheep and shepherds first applied in the Bible to the nation of Israel. For sake of time, you can turn there if you want to. I'm not going to turn there. But in Psalm 100 in verse 3, the psalmist said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." That scripture's wrote to Israel. The psalmist wrote that. And it does have reference to Israel as being the sheep of God's pasture. And then Asaph wrote in Psalm 77:20, "Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron," realizing that Moses and Aaron were leading the Hebrew people. We realize that that scripture has a reference in the Old Testament to Israel and to the Hebrew people. Now these verses, along with numerous other verses, hundreds of verses in the Old Testament, truly show us Israel looked at God as their shepherd. And they looked at Moses and Aaron and others after them as their under-shepherd. Their under-shepherd. That is a fact. And they looked at theirself as sheep. They looked at God as the shepherd. Ever who was leading them, Moses or Aaron, as the under-shepherds. And themselves as sheep. But also in the New Testament, as in our text, there is shepherd and sheep talk concerning Christians and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, many of you know it, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Does that just mean the Hebrews and the Israelite people? No, like Isaiah said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. It wasn't just the Hebrew people, but it wasn't just the Jews. It was the Gentiles as well. And I'm glad that don't just apply. To the Jews. You say, why? Well, put it in reverse and just back up a few verses there. In Isaiah 53. And here's why I'm glad that don't just apply to the Jews. Because in Isaiah 53, the Bible said, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray." I'm glad that I'm in on that all in verse 6. I'm glad I'm in that. Therefore, He was not only bruised for them, He was bruised for me. He was not only smitten for them, He was smitten to me. So no, the good preacher was mistaken, as all good preachers are from time to time. You see, the preacher is not infallible, but the pages of our Bible is. And so it doesn't matter what the preacher says if it don't line up with what God's already said. We all make mistakes. And Member Riley were talking tonight. He just asked me, he said, did you ever get a good sermon in your mind and then have it just blowed away because you went to the Bible and it didn't say what you thought it said? I said, thousands of times. Amen. And I think it's Dr. Lakin that said, learning the Bible will run you for a lot of sermons you hear. And he said, I know I had to tear a lot of mine up after I learned the Bible. So that's not being a false prophet. That's just learning the Bible and making mistakes. And the difference in a false prophet and somebody that just makes a mistake, once they learn the truth, they'll come back and tell you, I made a mistake. I was wrong. It didn't say that. I didn't preach that right. So, you see, he's a great preacher. I mean, he's way up there, top of the scale. But he's still a man. He said something that didn't agree with the Bible. I still have the utmost respect for him. But you see, the Bible is so big that there's no way you can keep it all in your mind at one time. And you read something over here, but you forgot about what it said over there. And that's just the way, you know, the Bible is so big. You see, he forgot something. And if you don't get nothing else I say tonight, get this. In John 10, the whole chapter's about the shepherd. And look at verse 16. He said that we were not referred to as sheep. Look at verse 16. This is Jesus. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. He's talking about us. And he said, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, we are that little flock Jesus referred to. He said, little flock, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so you and I, thank God that even though we wouldn't in that flock back there, we're in that little flock over here. And we are a sheep in God's flock. We used to sing when we'd go to Camp Canaan. I couldn't sing it all, but I'm sure Dave and he could, or some of these others and counselors that went. But we used to sing a little song, I just want to be a sheep, bye, 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 bye. And that's all I want to be. I just want to be one of God's sheep. Amen. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's talking about Israel's fold. Them, the church, I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one flock. You say, what's that one flock business? Well, that's Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, the cross made it so if you're a Jew or if you're a Gentile, you can still get in the same flock. And then he said, there's coming a day when there'll be one shepherd. Where's that at? Well, that'll be in the end of Revelations 20 during the millennial when Christ reigns for 1,000 years here upon earth and we'll all be one flock and we'll all have one shepherd. Isn't that wonderful? Now, as sheep in God's fold, we have shepherds. We read that tonight, didn't we? He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd shall appear. There it is. So here's where the under-shepherd comes in. You say, what's an under-shepherd? Well, that's what Moses and Aaron were. And that's what Every pastor is a under shepherd. A few years ago, they started this saying, and they started, everybody would refer to themselves as, "I'm the senior pastor. I'm the senior pastor of this church or that church." And I never did go for it. I had some folks ask me, said, "Now, are you the senior pastor at Bethel?" And I said, "No, sir. I'm the under shepherd." They said, "Who's the senior pastor?" I said, "Jesus Christ. He's the senior pastor." So Moses and Aaron were under shepherds leading and feeding God's flock. And they were following the chief shepherd that we just read about. And what they were doing was the under shepherds were taking care of things while the chief shepherd was away. And that's what every under shepherd's doing. He's just kind of managing, oversight. The Bible calls it the oversight. He's just kind of watching over God's church while that Jesus, the great shepherd, has went away. Shepherds in the Bible, shepherds were not drivers. You drive cattle. Is that right, Steve? You drive cattle. Is that right, Brother Greg? You drive cattle, but you lead sheep. Shepherds carried shepherd's staffs, not fuller's clubs. I've seen some pastors that pastored with a fuller's club and it just beat everybody to death every Sunday. But shepherds, they have a staff. That staff has a crook on it, and when one got out of line, he might reach out there and pull him back in a little bit or might nudge him a little bit. But there's a great difference between the two. As sheep in God's flock, we are not dogs or hogs. Sometimes we eat like a hog, but we're not hogs. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, "But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now, at one time we were stray Gentile dogs. That's what we were. You know, Ruth was a Gentile. But she had a good life after she got the right master. You see, a dog can have a pretty good life if they get the right master. Matter of fact, I've been in people's homes over the years, and they treated their dogs better than they did their kids. I think they loved them more. And that old dog, I mean, I've watched him, man. They had sweaters. No offense if you got one on your dog, it's your business. But they had sweaters. They went to the beauty shop every week, got their hair fixed. I mean, they had health insurance. Do you know you can buy health insurance for a dog now? They had life insurance. Hey, man, that might be something to check into. Get an old mutt and put about $1 million on him and shoot him, amen. But I remember, I'll never forget it. I used to have old coon hounds, and I had an old Jeep, and Scotty and Corey were just small. I mean, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And the church was always giving us hams every Christmas. Everybody got a ham. None of my kids like ham. You say, why? Because we eat it from December till June. Because everybody give it to us every Christmas. They give us ham, and I still like it. But I had sliced one of them hams, and you know how you trim the edge off and that old fat off, and I had a big pile where I'd trimmed it off, and it was probably that high, and I had it, and I dumped it out there, and that old coon dog, he went over there, and he'd every bit of it. Right after that, we got in a Jeep, And we started to Temple Hill to cut wood. And about halfway there, Corey grabbed that old coon dog. I think it's Corey. I don't think Scott would do it. Corey's the dog lover. And he grabbed that old coon dog and kissed it right in the mouth. And he hadn't much more than kissed it. You know what happened. And I told that one night preaching, there was a lady that come to church here and she raised them little poodles. You know, the little ball on their tail and trimmed around the middle and their little ears. And she was sitting in the old building right where Maydell is tonight. And I was talking about my coon dogs, Tracy. And I seen her go, ooh, ooh. And I got in the flesh. And I said, lady, that poodle will do the same thing. You know why? Because it's a dog. Has a dog's nature. That's what's being talked about here. You can wash the outside of a hog or a sow. You can wash the outside, but that doesn't change the nature on the inside. You see, when we get saved, we still have that hog nature. But we get a new nature to go in right there beside it. And we need to, that new nature is what the Bible speaks about in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, that when we get in Christ, we're a new creature. We're not a hog anymore, we're a sheep now. That's what the Bible talks about in Colossians 3 and verse 10, where the Bible talks about putting on that new man. And so we are sheep. Now sheep are more picky eaters than goats. Brother David, his goats look more forward to Jubilee than probably any one of y'all. You say why? Because after about a month after Jubilee, they get all the old rotten pumpkins and all the old dried up mums and all the old corn stalks that we put everywhere for decoration. They get them, and I've never asked him, but I would guess there probably wasn't a sprig left. Now, they get all of that stuff. Now, a sheep, they can eat a lot of that stuff. I used to say they wouldn't eat that stuff, and I preached one night on the sheep, and a man who was a sheep raiser up in Ohio, he came to me, and he said, Brother Rick, he said, them sheep will eat that stuff. He said, if you don't keep something real good out for them and keep them away from that stuff. And I said, oh, okay. So I had to write that in my notes. But you see, while a sheep can eat that stuff, and many of God's sheep do eat that stuff, they do eat the wrong thing. When a sheep eats that stuff, it'll make them sick and it'll hurt them. So as sheep in God's flock, we have a good shepherd who will lead us to green pastures so that we don't have to eat sawbriars and we don't have to eat tin cans and we don't have to eat all that junk. And we have a good shepherd who leads us to green pastures, and we have under shepherds who are told by the good shepherd to feed the flock of God. Not what they might want, but what they will need. What they will need. Every preacher, whether evangelist or pastor, they pray about what to preach if they got any God at all about them. We think it's us coming up with it, but really it's God leading us to certain passages of scriptures. And then we preach it that morning and somebody comes up to you after the service or maybe that night and they say, oh, I needed that. That was just for me. That was just for me. We see somebody fed the flock of God with where the chief shepherd led the under shepherd and said, give them this tonight. Give them this tonight. As sheep in God's flock, we cannot clean ourselves. a dog or cat or even a calf. They will clean themselves or make an attempt. We've all seen them lick their paws or lick their body. They make an attempt to clean themselves, but not the sheep. We see them, when we think of a sheep in our mind, or we see a picture of a bunch of sheep in a field. I have a beautiful picture of a wintry scene. Caleb's daddy-in-law got it for me 1 year. And we hang it up usually every winter. And it is a beautiful picture of a wintry scene with a bunch of sheep. And those sheep are so white that they almost blend in with the snow scene in the picture. And in our mind, when we think about sheep, we think about them being pure white and snow white and so clean. That's the way we look at each other when we file in here on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night or Sunday school. We look and we all look like just the perfect clean sheep. But on a closer inspection, a shepherd said sheep are seldom ever clean. Ever clean. Their fleece contains grease, which their own body produces, just like if you don't wash your hair for 3 weeks, it's going to be greasy. Because your body produces that. Well, sheep's the same way. Their fleece contains dirt because they're round dirt. It's dusty. The wind's blowing. We're around dirt. Their fleece contains seeds that they might have picked up when they went by something, and that seed got in their wool. And bugs. They have bugs that get on them because of the contact they make every day. That's why Jesus said, you're clean, but not all. He said, you need your hands washed. Need your feet washed. Because as you walk through this world, as clean as you might think you are, we always got dirt on us. That's why the altar's not just for people to get saved on. It's for people to take a bath on. Wash their hands and feet. It's the laver. In the tabernacle, there was the laver. And before you went into the Holy of Holies, you had to stop by the laver and wash. That's what the altar is, the church. It's a place for us to wash. Now, in a clean pen or a well-kept fold with clean food and clean water, they stay cleaner than it would be just running out here loose. And they're happier. You say, how do you know? Well, I've got five or six books on that shepherds have wrote. They said the clean sheep are happier and healthier. And their very nature prefers the clean place. Their very nature. What's that's a picture of? Well, that's a picture of the church. That's a picture of the church. You see, we stay cleaner when we stay in the fold. We stay cleaner when we stay in the fold. We're eating pure food, drinking pure water. We stay cleaner and we're happier and we're healthier as God's sheep. Every sick Christian I know tonight, and I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually, you know what their problem is? They left the fold. You know what their problem is? They're eating the junk of the world out there instead of getting fed by the good under-shepherd. And I have never seen in all my life, from the time I saved at 10, I'll even go back that far, I have never seen a backslidden, dirty Christian that is happy or healthy spiritually. You say, why? It's an impossibility. Their very nature tells them, their very new nature tells them, you need to be in the fold. You don't need to be around this place. So, as sheep in God's fold, Christians who are not in church are never happy. The happiest Christians that I know are those that have been led to a fold or a church by the chief shepherd to the under shepherd that God wants to feed them and stay there. Stay clean. Eat the right stuff. Now, as a sheep in God's fold, we have enemies. 1 Peter 5 and 8. The Bible says, be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. So part of the shepherd's job is to protect the sheep, as David did. I want to close. Got a little bit longer to go, but I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 17 and hold that place. And then I want you to go over to Amos in the Minor Prophets, page 936, if you have a Scofield Bible. And I want to look at these two incidents here involving shepherd and sheep. Now in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34, the Bible said, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Watch it word for word. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Notice that. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Now look in Amos chapter 3 and verse 12. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed in Damascus on a couch. Now, both places they're sheep. But do you know why one was delivered and one was destroyed? It has to do with our location. David said one was in the flock. And he said a bear came, a lion came, and David said, I defended him. But the other one, that all that's left is pieces, he was not in the flock. He's typified by Israel as being in the wrong place. Did you know God has not promised to protect you or deliver you when you're in the wrong place? That's why you see some Christians and you wonder what happened, and all that's left of their life is just bits and pieces. But you see other Christians that stumbled and fell, but they stayed in the flock, and the good shepherd delivered them. Delivered them. So you see the difference in these two stories. Now, let me conclude with this. The Bible has much to say in every way about the shepherding ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and His relationship to us as sheep in God's fold. It cannot go unnoticed by the serious student of the Bible, the layout of Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24. Jesus in John 10 and 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know what happens in Psalms 22? It's Jesus on the cross. It's almost like the psalmist was standing there. It's almost like word for word. Jesus gave his life on the cross for the sheep. But you know what follows that? The Bible says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And as a good shepherd, do you know what Psalms 23 says? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I quoted that from having to memorize it in the sixth grade. Our teacher made us memorize it. I never forgot it. Would to God. We still had to learn scripture in school. In Psalms 22, we're about done. In Psalms 22, Jesus, as the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. In Hebrews 13, verse 20 through 21, he is called the great shepherd. You know what I just quoted you in them six verses in Psalms 23? I quoted you a psalmist talking about his shepherd, and he said he is a great shepherd. Only God could lay the Bible out like this. Psalms 22, the good shepherd, he dies for the sheep. Psalms 23, the great shepherd, he provides and cares for. In Psalms 24, 1 Peter 5 and 4 said he is the coming shepherd. Or chief shepherd. In Psalms 24, the Bible says the King of glory has come in. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Don't that make you just want to pull your Bible up and hug it and say, thank God. This Bible's laid out by God. So tonight, I want you to leave with this thought tonight. Not only are you a child in God's family, but tonight you are a sheep in God's flock. And he's a good shepherd. Now if you stray, he'll come looking for you. Just hope he finds you before the lion does. But your best bet is to stay in the fold. He'll watch over you there. You be close to him. Father, I thank you tonight that I know all this by experience. It's true, I learned it in the Word of God, but I've experienced it in my life as a little ewe lamb that got in the flock at 10 years old. And now, Lord, at 69, the Lord has been all these things to me. And Lord, in a world when oftentimes the devil doesn't want us to remember who we are, we need to remember tonight we're a child in God's family. We are a sheep in God's fold. We are somebody to God. And I pray folks will leave tonight, have that good thought on their mind and heart, and going down the road, going home, in their car, maybe by theirself, they may be heard to say, but God, I just want to be a sheep. Bye, 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 bye. Lord, thank you tonight. And I pray you'll bless each one that's come this way. Get them safely home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Thank you for coming tonight. All right, let's stand. There's no word from anybody tonight. We'll dismiss.